I'm delighted to be with you in this meeting. I have been here before, but as Brother Chris said, it's been a good while. I don't know how long it's been. That's immaterial now. I've been blessed to be back, so I'll know tomorrow how long it's been since I've been here, maybe. I wondered what I ought to talk about, but the brethren pretty well demonstrated that. Talk about 30 minutes and get out of the way. I got that lesson. So you'll pray that the Lord will bless us to have something to say for about that long. We'll try to do it and move along. I want to call your attention briefly to a passage in the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts. This is the second place that this account is recorded in the book of Acts. It's recorded in chapter 9 and again in chapter 22. Paul is speaking before Ananias, making his defense for his preaching of the gospel. And he begins to tell Ananias about why he started doing this. And he tells him that God appeared to him as he was going to Damascus with letters of authority to persecute the church. Struck him down. That God spoke to him in an audible way, and that God sent him to the house of one Ananias. Now, we learn in Acts chapter 9 that Ananias was scared of Saul. He didn't want anything to do with him. But God told him that he's a chosen vessel unto me. So, Paul, beginning in verse 13 of Acts 22, tells the account of what Ananias said to him the first time he went there to the home of this old Baptist preacher to find out what God was going to have this man tell him to do. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. Now Saul's been blind since he was stricken on the road. And Ananias come in and said, receive thy sight. And Paul said, I looked at him. Isn't that amazing? And he said, this is what Ananias said. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Now, just a little while ago, Ananias didn't want anything to do with him because he's scared of him. And now he comes in and says, Brother Saul, God has chosen you. That's the heart and essence of the gospel right there. Amen. I tell you, when I can read over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, where Paul writes to the brethren at Thessalonica and said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for my gospel which was preached to you came not in word only, but in much power and in assurance and in the Holy Ghost. That message is so important to the child of God. I tell you, if you brethren can convince me when I'm cast down that I'm among the elect of God, you'll do for me what I need. They don't sell anything down at the pharmacy that will help my cast down condition like being told that you can see that I'm a child of God. Oh, I want to know that I'm among the... I love the doctrine of election. I love it, Brother David, for you, but I love it much better for me. Tonight, I really do. I want to know... I want to be told by my brethren that they can see something in me that indicates that God chose me and sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for me. And that's what Paul is being told by Ananias. The first gospel message, the first sentence of the first gospel message this man ever heard was, God has chosen you. Is the doctrine of election important to the gospel? I tell you, this beloved apostle, this man that God has chosen and sent to a specific preacher at a specific time, this preacher comes to him with the message of God, and it begins with, God has chosen you. I love the doctrine of election. I tell you, if you can't base what you believe upon the doctrine of election, it'll crumble before the heat of oppression and distress in this world. But God's eternal and God's particular love that is shed abroad in the hearts of God's elect, my friend, will hold up under every test of time. God hath chosen you that thou shouldest know his will. Man, that's been a question in my mind. There's a lot about the will of God tonight I would know, but I'm glad to believe tonight that I'm included in the will of God. Brother Philip said he named his children in his will. Well, I did mine too, Brother Philip. I understand the law to say if you don't name them, it doesn't count for much. But you know, I put their first name and their last name both in there. I wanted folks who read that thing someday ought to know which Jake I'm talking about. You get it? I put it down first name and last. Now then, that thou shouldest know the will of God and see that just one and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. I'm having trouble getting through my preliminaries, Brother Rick. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. I tell you, I don't want a witness who hadn't seen anything and hadn't heard anything talking to me. If you have a testimony for me, let it be what you've seen and what you've heard. This man has seen something and he's heard something, and he's going to tell folks about it all along his life. And now, here we come to my verse. And now, why tarriest thou? I tell you, it didn't take this preacher long to get to the matter, did it? Man, he didn't piddle around. Saul comes in and he tells him, God chose you, and I'm going to tell you what God's will is, and you're going to see Jesus, and now get busy. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Brother Dan preached to us this afternoon about some washings. I thought he was going to get here, but he didn't, so I'm going to do it for him. All right. Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Oh my goodness. Be baptized and wash away thy sins. Yeah. 1 Peter 3, 18, 19, somewhere in there, 20. Wherein the long suffering of God waited while the ark was preparing, wherein 8 souls were saved by water. We know they were saved from water. They were saved by water. That ark floated them above some things that they were saved from. That flood separated them from some things. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth even also now save us. Amen. Oh, there's salvation in water baptism here. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth even now also save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. Now Ananias said, you rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. And Peter said, doesn't put away the filth of the flesh. And they're in perfect agreement. Amen. There's not going to be any disharmony in this thing. So we're going to have to figure out what one of them meant. All right? Now that's what you do when you think there's something that's in disagreement in the Bible. You start looking at what they meant and going into the matter. And somewhere you will find an explanation in the Bible that will bring those two expressions into perfect harmony every time. I said you do it. Sometimes I may have a little trouble doing it, but God will help you to do it. And if you can't do it by yourself, get some of these brethren to help you. That's their job. Last thing in the world I want to do is provoke laughter. I'm ashamed of myself when it happens, and I don't see anything so funny about it sometimes, but We'll do the best we can. All right, let's get this explained. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 13. Leviticus chapter 13 and Leviticus chapter 14. And we're going to talk about a very particular and peculiar event and part of the law that God gave Moses. In Leviticus chapter 13, we have a complete and concise section that will be suitable for the most modern medical school textbook in anybody's world. It'll help you to diagnose leprosy today if you're in that position. And if a physician doesn't know how to diagnose leprosy, he can read Leviticus 13 and find out how to do it. All right? But God required that when a man began to have symptoms or a woman that looked like leprosy, he go to the priest and the priest examine him according to the law God gave in Leviticus 13. And if the priest says he has leprosy, he has to leave the camp, go out into a place away from the people. Usually I'm told it was in a colony of other people who had leprosy. There they had to live outside the camp, away from the fellowship of the camp of Israel. And when somebody got close to them, they had to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," and bear not only the painful affliction of leprosy, but they had to bear the humiliation and the shame and the loss of fellowship of the camp of Israel. Bad situation to be in. All right? Now, that's not the way Brother Julian wants me to say that, but I, since he told me what I say, I can't say it anymore, probably. Let's look at this. Once in a great while, somebody who's living out there among the lepers got well. There was no medicine known in that day that would cure leprosy. Leprosy is a picture of sin. I want to tell you that there's no medicine known to man that will cure sin. But once in a while, somebody gets healed. You know what happens when somebody gets healed of sin? Brother Dan told us this afternoon, God, who washed them judicially in the blood of the Lamb, washes them with the washing of regeneration, and they start hating their sin. They start hating their sin. Paul said that when that happened with him on the road to Damascus, that the commandment which was ordained to life, he found to be unto death. The commandment came, sin revived, Paul said, and I died. I saw myself a leper. I saw myself unclean, unfit, not worthy to live in the camp of the people of God. I saw myself as so undone and so wretched that I knew that good and honorable people would have no fellowship for me. I knew that the brethren in the church of the living God were of two pure eyes. I know this is a Bible expression about God, but in our feelings we felt that the people of God in the church of God had too much cleanness even to ever have any contact with a poor sinner like me. That's what Paul felt. And perhaps at some point in your life you too have felt this way. And I'll tell you, if you don't know how it works, you look at the life of Saul of Tarsus. He said, sin revived and I died. He felt himself to be dead, unjust before God, with no hope. And he goes to Ananias, and Ananias says to him, but Brother Saul, God chose you. What a message to a poor sinner who feels himself depraved and lost and without hope in the world. But I want to tell you what's happened to him. Before Ananias preaches that to him, Jesus Christ had died for him on the cross of Calvary and legally put away his sin. Every one of them, all his sins, my friend, he had made him legally perfect in the sight of God, and God has cleansed him in his inner being by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. God has purified him as one unto himself, a peculiar, I know he said people in Titus, but let me have it for Saul. He made him a peculiar man, a zealous of good works. What did Saul say when God had cleansed him? What wilt thou have me to do? He goes to Ananias, and Ananias begins to preach the gospel to him. And he says, step number one in doing what God would have you do is arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Man, washing away his sins now. Well, once in a while, that leper got wet.
Yeah.
I think that's what they call spontaneous healing in the medical world. It just, no explanation for it. You know, no explanation. You can't explain what God's done scientifically. You can't do it mathematically. Human logic won't get there. This washing of regeneration cannot be explained in human terms. But my friend, it's real. It's true. And it's a blessing of Almighty God. And it's a work of God's grace in us. And thank God you and I believe tonight, have experienced this cleansing. I believe we're lepers who have been healed of leprosy.
Amen.
Now, in the nature of the activity that I do on a daily basis, I get a lot of little cuts and nicks and bruises and skinned places. And my hands are rather unattractive. They're skinned up, scarred up, beat up. I have, you know, and it's not just my hands. It goes all the way to my elbows, but I you know, that's marks of what I was.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not going to pull up my sleeve and show you. I have a big old skin place on my arm right now. It'll heal up in a few days, but there'll still be a scar there. There'll be a little mark there that reminds me what was there. And Saul had some stuff in him that reminded him, yes, son, God's cleaned you, but you're a sinner.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
That thorn he had in the flesh, I don't know what it was. Bible doesn't tell us, but if you just let me speculate about that just a little bit, and I don't like much speculating in the stand, but if you just let me have it just a minute, I believe Paul remembered that once I persecuted the church of the living God.
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Don't you know he went sometimes to preach somewhere and there'd be some old sister in the crowd and he may have had her husband killed.
Yeah.
That'd be a thorn in my flesh. I believe it was in his.
Yeah.
He had some scars. The leper would have a little spot here and there that it's not, don't look like leprosy anymore, but we got to be sure about this thing. Now, I don't want to read all of Leviticus 14, and you don't want me to. But if he thinks he's been healed, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. Hold that word. That word cleansing here means healing when he's been healed. He shall be brought unto the priest. We're going to have a religious ceremony. That's what we go to the priest for. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp. See, this man can't go into the camp and see the priest. He goes up close to the camp. The priest comes out of the camp. The priest is a citizen of the camp. And the priest shall look. And behold, if the plague of the leprosy be healed in the leper. Pat him on the back, love his neck, and tell him go home and have a good week. Why not? Because God said that's not the way we're going to do it.
Amen.
Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds alive and clean, and cedar wood and scarlet and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as we move on down in it, he's going to sprinkle this blood on this man and pronounce him clean. And he lets the living bird go into the open field. Now, what does all that represent? I don't have a clue. All right, I don't know. Really, that's not pertinent to the discussion. But that's what God said. That's all I need out of it tonight. That's what God said. It's always right to do it God's way. That's my point. But notice the first line of verse 8. And he that is to be cleansed. But I read back up in verse 2, he's already cleaned. Brother Dan talked about three washings, did he not? Well, we got a washing, he's healed. Now we have another washing that was accomplished by the sprinkling of the bird, of the blood of the bird that was killed, and the letting go of the live bird, and the whole religious ceremony that the priest carries out. And when that's all done, this healed, clean leper can come into the camp, but he can't go home. He cannot go yet into his house. This, I got to be kind of careful how I say this. But around home, in the churches at home, we have some folks who have been born again, and they have begun to learn some gospel truth, and they are hanging around the camp, but we don't let them vote yet. All right? And we don't let them in communion yet. All right, now that's where this fellow is. He's heard the gospel, typically, figuratively. He's in the camp, but he's just not where he wants to be and needs to be. He can't yet go to his house. All right, well, we're not going to leave him here. I mean, he's, you know, he's in the city, but he's not at home.
Amen.
There are folks living under underpasses in every major town in America who are in the city but can't go home. I feel great compassion for them. I tell you, if I could just, I don't need to share that. I have a niece that I fear is in that condition. Our family doesn't know where she is. And you know, last we knew she lived in Chicago. It gets cold up there. Yeah. And when I see the weather forecast in Chicago, and it's, I worry about that girl. I just can't help it. So I have compassion for those folks. And look, I'd like to take them home with me. I worked in the public school system for 28 years in my home community. Brother David's been there a long time. There have been students that came through our schools that needed a home, and I wanted to take them home. I can't take all of them home. And legally, I'd have been in real trouble if I'd taken any of them home in some ways, but sometimes you almost do in some ways. This man's living in the city, but he's not at home. I remember in Mark chapter 5, the Lord came across a little sea to the land of the Gadarenes, and there met him an unclean man coming out of the tombs. This man had been living among the tombs. He's living out there with no clothes. He's deranged. He's crying and cutting himself with stones, and men have tried to tame him, and they can't do anything with him. And the Lord comes, and instantly he sees Jesus, and he calls him by name, and he says, "Why tormentest thou me?" He knows Jesus. Yeah. And we find him clothed. and in his right mind and visiting with Jesus. And when Jesus is ready to leave, he wants to go with him. And Jesus said to him, no, you can't go with me, but go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done. He's not talking about that man's natural home. He didn't have a home in that city. He's been living in the tombs, in the cemetery, if you will. He's not telling him, go back to your natural house. He's saying, in this town, there's a group of folks who have a home for you, and you go to them and you tell them how great things the Lord has done. I tell you, in this community tonight, I speculate, I dare say, there are individuals who have heard the gospel preached who have not yet found a home among God's little people who are trying to serve him and worship him, who need to come home, I suppose, at old Little Union Church and tell them how great things God has done for thee. And I'll tell you, God's children who are home will welcome them with open arms and give them a home among them and be a strength and a blessing to them while they live in this world.
Amen.
But this man's not able to go home yet. I'm hurrying. They wait 8 days and they take some oil. And that oil has to be handled in a certain way. And that high priest, or that priest, he'll go to this leper who's been cleansed, who's been healed, who's heard the gospel in figure. He'll go to him. He'll dip some of that oil. He'll put a little bit of it on the tip of his right ear. He'll pour some of it out in his left hand. God got very specific about how to do this. God didn't leave us to do baptism any way we want to. God told us how to do it. He got very specific about it. They went down into the water and he baptized him. He didn't dip a little water and pour it on him. He put him under that water, my brother. He put him under the water in the name of the Father and in the name of the Son and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. God told us how this is to be done. God's very specific about this ceremony. I want you to see the specificity of it. I want you to see the particular nature of it for just a minute, if you will. He'll take a little of that oil and he'll put it on the tip of his right ear. He'll put it on the tip of his right thumb. He'll put some of it on the tip of his right great toe. And what's left, he puts on the ear. He goes ear, thumb, toe, and back to the ear. I don't know why. What difference does it make? God said, do it that way. That's what difference it makes. And then what? I love the simplicity of the language of the Bible. He shall be clean. Who ever heard of putting oil on a man's head and on his ear and on his thumb and on his toe and him making him clean? God says he shall be clean. Not healed. That's been going on for several days.
Yeah.
Not able to live in the camp. That's been going on for 8 days. He can go home and live as a clean man in his home among the children of Israel, which is a figure of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. He's been born of the Spirit of God. Ananias preaches the gospel. God has chosen you. He's preached the gospel to him. And now he says the thing for you to do is ceremonially rise and in a religious ceremony, wash away your sins. Now that's not putting away the filth of the flesh. That won't make you a child of God. But it'll let you live at the home God has given us while we live in this world. Calling on the name of the Lord. Oh, brethren, could we not pray together? In this place that God has given us, how sweet it is when God's children come together, recognize and acknowledge our cleansing by the blood and by the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, and pray to God together in the house where prayer is wont to be made. May God add his blessings.
Amen.